According to the UN World Water Development Report, every 8 seconds, a child dies from drinking unsafe water. This morning, our special guest is Greg Stromberg. He is the founder of Canned Water for Kids. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Christy.
I have been anticipating speaking with you all week. I'm grateful that you're here this morning. And I've been watching some of your videos and looking at the impact that you're making globally with your nonprofit organization, Canned Water for Kids. But I want you to start at the beginning, because I think this is an inspirational story for our listeners, not only to support your mission, but also to think about our own lives and what experience we have, whether it's volunteering or in our professional life, that we can use to make an impact for the betterment of the world. So take us back to this initial time, your background, and how you decided to start Canned Water for Kids.
Thank you. Well, it started when I was working full-time back in 2007. Actually, it maybe started before then, because I had the idea and this gnawing thing that said, Greg, you need to do more. And the reason I said I needed to do more was I was blessed with three healthy children that gave me nine healthy grandchildren, in a environment where there was more abundance than they could ever have or I could have. And as you get older, you start to think about all those things that you have been given and been blessed with. So I learned by accident about water, living close to the Great Lakes. I've always been interested in our big body of water, and started to read about the problem that existed with water, especially drinking water. I think you mentioned every 8 seconds, every 21 seconds, a child dies from a waterborne disease. So not only can the water kill them, but what the water brings to them in their body can kill them. So in 2007, I became a social intrapreneur, not entre, because I was working full-time in the company. And the area that I worked in was packaging, and that packaging area was rigid containers, which are called cans, beverage cans. So I've been in the packaging industry for over 50 years and wanted to do something, give the can and in my company at the time, a higher purpose. So I talked to my friend who used to work at Pabst Brewing Company, who was an art director there way back when, and said, hey, why don't we put together a billboard using the can for our purpose or cause, which was to ensure that every child in the world had access to clean, safe drinking water. Tell our story, put it on the can, fill the can with water, sell that water, and then take those proceeds and do good in the world. And I have to tell you, I knew nothing about nonprofits. I knew very little about water. I know a little bit more today than I did back then, and got this thing going. So some of the inspiration that gave me this momentum to do what I'm doing 15 years later, it was really a story that my dad would tell me about my grandpa, who was a dentist, graduated from Northwestern University back in 1917. In fact, I think I have a picture of it posted on our website, the old dental office, if any of you remember. If you're as old as I am or older, going to the dentist was not a fun thing to do, because it was painful, and when they drilled, you know, your whole head shook. But anyways, my dad would tell me, and I never really got to know my grandpa, because he passed away when I was a little baby, but he would tell me a story about how he would help people out that didn't have money in the Depression, that had pain, and he would fix their teeth and wouldn't charge them. So that kind of stayed with me, and then you know, I've been exposed to people like the, you know, the late Paul Newman, and the actor with Newman's Own and what he did, and then some of the other generous things that other people have done to help others. You know, this was a kind of a reinforcement of having me doing something a little bit more. And you know, as you get older, you always want to be a model for your kids and your grandkids, because I never realized how much they watch what you do and what you say. So I felt also that you know, this would be a good time to be a good model and leave a legacy for my kids, grandkids, my industry, which is the packaging can industry, the company I work for, which produced printing ink that went on the outside of aluminum beverage cans, started this idea, and 15 years later, here I am, and you know, we've done over 36 projects around the world, in Central Africa, Zambia, Kenya, Tanzania, the highlands of Guatemala, and we continue to work on new projects, all because of people purchasing that delicious canned water that we sell in the marketplace, which we take all the proceeds, actually 95% of all the proceeds that we get from the sale of that product go to the projects.
How did you go about selecting what type of water you were going to put in those cans?
Well, first of all, I like to throw at people, and we work with a lot of students, actually. We work with Cardinal Stritch right now in St. Leo University in Tampa, Florida. And I give three questions. You know, one, where did your water come from? So that's an important question. Number two, how was it cleaned or purified? And then three, how did it get to you? And each of those questions gives you a direction of the quality of the water that you might be drinking or not thinking about every day. And when I started thinking about those three questions, you know, the source for us is in Norfolk, Nebraska, a very clean, you know, aquifer. And, you know, there's all kinds of references to water like spring water and artesian water and mineral water and still water and those types of things. I won't go into all of that, but basically that is something that the FDA puts on and classifies water as to, you know, the source. If it's bubbling up out of the ground, you know, it becomes spring water. Just because it's spring water doesn't mean it's, you know, it's safe. So the second question is, you need to know how is it cleaned or purified? Most people, most commercial operations use reverse osmosis, which is a process that takes the water and pushes it through filters, and these filters pull out the bad, you know, the bad stuff, the lead in the heavy metals, and then they'll use other processes like ozonization or ultraviolet curing, you know, to get rid of the bacteria and the E. coli and the Listeria and all the bad stuff that can get into water. And it doesn't take much, you know, when water's exposed, especially like in Africa where these young ladies are the ones that carry the water in the morning back to their families, sometimes 5-10 miles, no shoes. The water weighs 30-40 pounds on the top of their head, and that water is open. So anything in the air, any bird that flies over, you know, can contaminate it. So I've taken a long time to answer your question, but our water is it tastes delicious and it's very clean, and the process is proprietary, but it is clean with filters, and it doesn't take a lot of cleaning because the aquifer is pretty pure. Now, you know, other sources of water, of course, can be like you know, Lake Michigan, where I live. The water comes from the lake. And is we live in an old city, and there's about 2,000 of those old cities with old infrastructures. You may be hearing or reading or sea brought down the Roman Empire. You know, everybody went crazy, right? It was lead. They stored their lead in an system for water with lead pipes. So right now, all over the United States, all over the world, where there are old pipes and infrastructures, people are slowly getting poisoned by lead, and it's the reason why they banned it from gasoline and from paint, and now the struggle is water.
And the website is cannedwaterforkids.org, and it's the number four, right? The numeral four.
That's correct. So CANNEDWATER, the number four, and then KIDS.org.
If you're just joining the conversation, we're speaking with Greg Stromberg. He is a 51-year veteran of the packaging industry, focused on cans, and he is the founder of Canned Water for Kids, a nonprofit organization who is changing lives across the globe. One of the things that I love about the information that you're providing, you are doing things with the cans that we were talking about before, with the profits of those. You said 95% of the profits is used in your projects and things like that. I had seen that you also aid in emergency relief. Your website said 3.5 million cans of drinking water have been provided for relief.
That's correct. In fact, I never expected that we would be going in that direction, but I never say no to anybody that comes to us and asks for help. We find a way. We try to be resourceful, and we're very small, and we don't pay any salaries in our organization. All my board members, I got a couple of PhDs that are very smart, very diversified board that we make sure that all that money goes directly to the water projects.
One of the things that you had briefly mentioned when we were speaking before the news break are different systems, sustainable wells and water purification systems that you set up, 38 in different areas of the world, from sand filters to all sorts of different filtration systems. When you thought about making an impact beyond just what the cans could provide for relief or immediate drinking water, how did you go about finding the areas that you would be helping and assisting with in setting up wells so that they would have sustainable, clean, fresh, safe water?
Yeah, one of the things that you have to make sure about is who you're dealing with. The world has many bad actors in it, and when you're working at a distance, you need to make sure that you're dealing with somebody that has integrity and will do what they say they're going to do, and they have a good history. So the people we've dealt with have come to us through missionaries and churches and have a track record of doing good. So we're careful who we deal with, and then we also make sure that we get stuff confirmed that the work has been done and is lucky with the lead problem. And I'm sorry, I didn't answer your other question about emergency situations. We started with the first one was the earthquake in Haiti, not the second one, but the one that goes way back. We did Storm Sandy, we did all the hurricanes, we did the most recent one in Kentucky, where we shipped four of our pallets went down there. It wasn't a lot of water, but it helped. But the Haiti one is kind of an interesting story. If I can just share that with you quickly, I had no idea. The port was closed. I had no idea. I just started the nonprofit, and somebody came to me and said, "Hey, can you help us get emergency water into Haiti for a nursery for children that was run by these sisters?" And I asked for help. you know, sometimes been called the universe and divine energy. That Friday, I asked for the help. On Monday, Jolie and Brad Pitts, when they were together, had a medical barge going, and they put two truckloads of our water on that barge. And then the Royal Caribbean, a boat that went into that northern port where they have a resort docking place that they go into. So, you know, and there's story after story that I can tell you that I had no idea how I was going to get stuff to these people. Like Puerto Rico, we got a call from the Red Cross, and they said, we have a 777 in Philadelphia. I had water in Milwaukee. I had to ship it. They had to ship it by Wednesday. Put 23,000 pounds on that airplane. Got it on there. Got it in the next day for the people of Puerto Rico. And I always like to throw in the thing about, you know, our water is packed in infinitely recyclable cans. They become new cans in 60 days, unlike plastic, which you probably saw all that plastic standing there that they never used that water for, because it was in the sunlight and it made the water taste bad, and it probably did some other bad things to it. But anyway, back to your other question, any project we do, it has to be sustainable. A lot of people go in, drill, you know, not very deep wells, and then they leave. And it's cruel and just immoral, I think, to give people clean water and then not make sure that they continue to get it.
I'm so glad that you shared that information, and I hope it's an inspiration to our listeners this morning. If you have a passion, if you have the intuition, the nudge that you are being led to do something, if you start taking those first steps, you're probably not going to know how everything is going to unfold or what the final picture is going to look like or how things are going to evolve. But inevitably, you're going to be connected with people, or you have known people in a certain industry or go to church with them. The connections will be made to help you to succeed and to be able to follow through with your purpose and mission.
That is so, so true. There are things I can't explain. You know, just being here today is a good example. It just happened. And I tell people there are no coincidences, and you just follow the path and where you're needed most, and the rest is like kind of automatic, I think.
Gregory, I was surprised at the statistics, and we have just a few minutes left. When I started investigating canned water for kids and looking at the UN World Water Development Report, 5,000 children die every day from waterborne diseases, unsafe water. Why do you think that this information is not really spoken about on a widespread basis compared to a lot of the other issues that we see in the media today?
You know, I sometimes think it's because it's not personal. You know, there are people, like I said, 2,000 cities in the U.S. market that we are literally, I mean, I can give you all the facts you want and tell your listeners, I'll be glad to send them this information. We are poisoning young unborn babies in pregnant mothers in the city of Milwaukee because there's lead in the water. And I can't speak for why this is not, I mean, it's priority. You know, the government is getting money for this, but it's going to take years. Right now, they're drinking this water. You know, what we've done is given them the water free so they don't have to drink the contaminated water, which is going to have health, create health issues for these young mothers and their, you know, their children. I don't know how to explain it. You know, I wish I had an answer. You know, if you don't realize you have a problem, whatever it is, you know, eating too much, you know, too much exercise, whatever it is, that you'll never solve the problem. So I guess the first step is you got to first admit that you have a problem. And most people don't want to, for all kinds of reasons, want to admit that they have a problem. But when you do admit that you have a problem, you can begin the slow steps that you need to take, or the fast steps you need to take, to determine the probable cause and root cause, and then do the corrective action. So we're trying to do more education, more talk shows like this to tell people that, you know, the security and the safety. There's actually, I'd like to share this with you, there's a study, and I can get this sent to you, a study done by a PhD that has correlated the amount of gun problems in our city and in other cities correlated with the lead issues in the water, especially with, you know, with younger people. So I'll keep searching and educating and sharing and praying that, you know, people wake up and realize that, you know, we're dealing with, whether it's here or in Ukraine or Guatemala or Zambia, you know, we're dealing with human beings that, you know, just like ourselves and our families. I think if people would think that way, maybe we would be able to solve some of these problems.
Thank you again, Gregory, for all that you're doing and for having this vision and making it actionable, putting it out there. I think a lot of times we have ideas about things, or, oh, I wish I could help this group, or I just have this particular population or area on my heart and wish I could do something. So I just want to thank you for putting this into action. 15 years in 2022. Congratulations. It has been named the Beverage of Human Kindness, Canned Water for Kids. You can find out more information on the website, cannedwaterforthenumber4kids.org. Where can you purchase your water? From the website, Gregory?
Yes, right now you can go on Amazon, and or you can purchase directly from us. And we always say, if you can purchase from us, it helps us out a lot better. But those are the two sources right now, and we ship out you know, the next day to our customers all over the United States. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We look forward to having you on the show again if you'd like to, and hearing about the impact that you're making and how we can help. Thank you so much, Gregory.
I'd love to. Thank you very much, Christy. Have a great day.